welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture here in 1 Timothy 1:5. We're going to take a look at a couple of Timothy passages here and just see some things. The Apostle Paul says this. He says to Timothy, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith." All right, the commandment has a motive. It's edifying. It's not to put people in bondage and control. There's a pure heart behind it, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. The King James says the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Unfeigned. Unfeigned means without hypocrisy, undisguised, it's sincere. It's not phony. It's the real thing. So it's not a phony, but it's a true, pure, honest faith. I love the way the New Living puts it. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. Genuine faith. So it's the same verse. We're looking at it from a few different translations. But you can see that he's trying to get across that there's a sincere, a genuine faith. Faith can be fakey. It can be phony. It can be put on. It can be used in different ways. But he's talking about a sincere, honest, genuine faith. Here's another reference he makes to Timothy again. He says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that you first had with your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I know the same genuine faith continues strong in you. This is why." Because you have a genuine faith. "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline," or a sound mind. So we see that Timothy's exhorted because he's got a genuine faith to stir up that gift that is on the inside of him. You can see a genuine faith goes right to the heart of things. It's not a show. It is something that is real. It's something that's coming from within. And this morning, I know there's a lot of different, teachings and aspects of faith that you could talk about that would take a long time. But this morning, I want to just talk about this idea, this heart of a genuine faith, okay? Sincere faith that's really coming from the heart. This is important for us to locate ourselves as human beings, okay? It's not like, there's the bad guys with phony faith and I'm the good guy with the real, genuine, sincere faith. I'm telling you what, if you're a human being, you can slip into phony faith. You can slip into your faith and all of a sudden you can get jaded about faith and sometimes we need heart adjustments. And we need to have a baseline of, man, what is genuine faith? What does that look like? I want a target that I'm, when I'm deviating, I want genuine faith. There is something powerful about a genuine faith that really keeps everything real and pure and right with the motive is good, and that's just where the blessing is and where God is. And so this morning, we're just going to minister along the lines of genuine faith. What are some of the things that we can see and identify about a genuine faith? First of all, I just want to say it's experienced in real time. This is where, you can talk about faith as this person has a faith, and we understand that. I have a faith. I have a Christian faith that represents different things of a belief system and things like that. I'm not talking about faith so much as a noun in that sense. I'm talking about a faith that is active. I'm talking about a genuine faith that is engaged. And genuine faith is experienced in real time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, now the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses, amplified. And the passion, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. There is a nowness of faith. In other words, I understand what hope is. Hope is once I've got it, I don't need faith for something that I've already got. It's already realized. But faith is the substance. It is the current, confident trust of something that I don't yet have. There is a nowness of faith. And that nowness of faith is something that carries over to our lives in terms of having an active faith. I love so much the way faith is described as it relates to the gospel. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him unless they've believed in him? How can they believe in him unless they've never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes from hearing, in hearing the good news about Christ. There is a faith that is now, there's a faith that is present, and there's a faith that comes from hearing the Word of God. Okay, I'm just talking to you. I'm going to talk to you as fellow believers who've been walking with the Lord for a while. Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by having heard. Do you understand? I've got theology that I could teach that comes from having heard, but there is an active faith that comes by hearing, an active hearing that is now. There's a nowness of my faith. My faith isn't just represented by a theology. There's a nowness. There's the Word of God that I keep before my eyes. I love that Psalm 1 guy. There's a reason that he didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly and stand in the path of the sinner or sit in the seat of the scornful. He was too busy. He was preoccupied. He was meditating in the Word day and night, and it was making him like a tree planted. There was something about an active faith that is hearing. It comes from the Word of God. Sometimes people say, I need to get more faith. No, go to the Word of God and faith will come to you. Faith wants you. You go to the Word and faith will come to you. I'm not trying to get some mystical thing. I know I've had that too where I'm frustrated and just like, Ed, stop trying to be so spiritual and go where spiritual is. Go to the Word. See, that Word is living. It is powerful. It's alive. And so when you go to the Word, there's an activeness to your faith. It's a nowness that can't be replicated. It doesn't matter how much you know. It's now. It's like the old cartoons maybe you saw and might date you a little bit, but Popeye the Sailor Man, all right?
Oh, yeah.
And what does he need to be strong?
Spinach.
And you see Popeye getting, you know, kicked around by Brutus, and he takes his girl Olive Oil, and it's, you know, Popeye is so mad. And you can see spinach off in the corner. But until that spinach gets in Popeye's mouth, he has no power. You know, I can look at the Bible, you know, on my shelf. But that something has to happen in the Word. I like to put it this way. The Word to be now has to get in your face.
Amen.
My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This isn't theology. I mean, you got to have good theology. I'm not downplaying theology, but you can't stop at good theology. There has to be a nowness. It's got to be in your ears and your eyes and in your heart. That the life that's in the Word gets in you, and there's a genuineness of the faith. That Word is powerful. And it's like we said, you know, Popeye, you give that example. Your own example, your favorite food. You can know a lot about it. You can know how to prepare it. You can know where to get it. You can know how much it costs. But until you eat it, It doesn't nourish and strengthen and satisfy you. You just have the theology about it. But you got to eat it for it to be now, to get the nourishment now. You can't be proud of what you know. You got to feed on it now. You got to eat it now. There's a nowness of faith. There's a real time about faith. Even, you know, it's interesting when you see in terms of like foreknowledge, we'll put it that way. Do you know God knew from the foundation of the world, according to his, he says, the elect according to his foreknowledge. He knew who was going to choose him according to his foreknowledge. And yet, when somebody gets saved, all the angels in heaven rejoice in real time. They weren't rejoicing, they're rejoicing now. Things play out in real time. That's the way he is. A woman who's pregnant knows, according to my calculations, I'm going to give birth in, you know, 4 months and 3 days. But when the moment happens and a child is born into the earth in real time, there is an excitement, there's a rejoicing, there's a life, there's a vibrancy about that. I mean, I've seen this even, we watched a movie this weekend, but have you ever checked up on yourself when you watch the same movie more than once? And maybe there's a part that's emotional. I've done this and I think, man, Ed, you've watched this movie for 40 years, you know, and we're coming up on that part. And it's like, come on, you're pathetic. You're already getting choked up. You have perfect foreknowledge. And yet when it comes, when it's in real time and you're seeing that, it's like it moves you. Man, just think of our Heavenly Father, the tender heart he has. He's waiting all that time, and it is just a party in heaven when that happens. There is something. Jesus said, even regarding his own death, he was telling his disciples, the Son of Man is going to come, he's going to be turned over, you know, he's going to be betrayed, crucified, he'll raise from the dead. He was just saying that as foreknowledge. But then when it happened, he said, my soul is exceedingly heavy unto death. Father, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. There is something about real time when that word hits your eyes and your ears and your nose and your heart. It registers in your heart. It does a work. What are we talking about? We're talking about genuine faith. We're talking about something that's real, that's sincere, that, yeah, I'm going to be putting it before me. I'm going to be putting it before my eyes, before my ears. I'm going to play that movie again and again. I'd just like to say this. Sometimes we learn something and we log it as theology and then we feel nagged by our theology that I should know, that I should be doing, that I know better. That's not genuine faith. Genuine faith just doesn't notice theology. Genuine faith takes that and feeds on that and feeds on that. If there's an area of scripture that it's like, that seems hard, I meditate on it. I let the Holy Spirit give wonderful counsel to me as I'm meditating on the Word of God. I let the Word of God speak to my heart. There's life in that. It becomes something that, you know, I'm not afraid of that scripture. I'm meditating on that scripture. I'm taking hold of that scripture. Whether it has, maybe it has to do with love or forgiveness or grace. I don't run away from it. I put it before my eyes. I let it feed me. You know, food is much like that. You know, we love our favorite food. We have our different food groups. But we're going to eat the same food over and over and over and over again. Again, I can know about a hamburger. It's another thing to eat the hamburger. It's one thing to know about love. It's another thing to go to that Word of God and say, praise God, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be an imitator of God as dear children, and walk in love, even as Christ loved us. There's an activeness where you hear those words hit your heart, and it does something to you. It feeds your spirit. It agrees with what you know is true on the inside. An authentic, genuine faith is a faith that is actively feeding on those words, letting those words speak and minister to your heart. Another aspect of what we'll call genuine faith is motivated by love. Okay? And this, again, as human beings, we need, thank God, the check and balance system of love and faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It's quite a chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. There's a common denominator of love, and if it's not there, it's nothing. Love isn't just a good thing. Love is absolutely essential because it's a faith that works by love. What are we talking about? We're talking about a faith that's unfeigned, that's not phony, but is really genuine. It's going to be motivated by love. It's going to be motivated by God. There's going to be a quality of that love. So let's take a quick look at some of the things that are supposed to motivate our faith and other things that are not. First of all, love suffers long and is kind. So if I have a faith that's motivated by love, I'm not going to be believing something or doing something in the name of God that is somehow vindictive, that somehow has a get back at somebody motive. I'm not using my faith in the Lord in some way that's trying to get even. That's not genuine faith. That's feigned faith. That's phony faith. That's religious. We see that a lot of times, where religion can become a tool of manipulation. That's not God. A faith that's motivated by love, that works by love, it suffers long and is kind. It's not going to be vindictive at all. A faith that is motivated by love does not envy. It's not in competition with somebody else for influence or access or something. It's not envious of, I'm going to use my faith and get above that. I'm going to use my faith in a way that I'm going to win that. I'm going to overcome. There's no envy motivations that's behind faith. Not at all. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. In other words, faith isn't going to move a mountain so everybody can watch that mountain move.
Come on.
I'm in a parade waving. See my mountain? There's no motivation. Oh, and they're going to see and they're going to know. There is no parade that motivates true faith. It just doesn't exist. It doesn't behave rudely. Now, Paul had to get on his fellow believers back in the day. Their big thing was meat offered to idols. We don't fight about that today, but that was their deal. And so they were really being, kind of mean to each other. And the Apostle Paul said, look, if meat offends my brother, I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to flow with it. He said, if you have faith, great, have it to yourself before God. You don't have to be harsh. You don't have to be rude and angry and, in a way that's not like him. Truth, yeah, truth and love. Truth that's kind. Truth that's graceful, but not rude. Faith isn't going to be rude about it. It doesn't seek its own. My goodness, I'm going to believe God and I'm going to do this and I'm going to get a million likes. I'm going to break in. There's no climbing a ladder. You're not motivated to climb a ladder or do anything like that. Is not provoked. Think about that one. If you are the Son of God, turn these rocks, into bread. If you are the Son of God, jump off this cliff. The angels will bear you up. The Pharisees, they were like, what miracle are you going to do to prove? Well, you get the sickest person you've got. I'll heal them. I'll show you. Jesus never went for that, did he? He never took the devil's bait. He never took the Pharisees' bait. He never did anything to, or he goes to his hometown. And they're offended at him. He said, no, come on, let me just. What was Jesus going to do next in those situations? He was going to do whatever the Father told him to do. He was going to say what he heard, and he was going to do what he saw. He wasn't provoked. on somebody's little thing to prove or to get a like or to do this or to prove them. Here's my agenda. My agenda is to do what my Lord calls me to do. He is my Savior, and I praise Him for it, but He's my Lord. When Jesus came to this earth, He said, I don't speak on my own authority. I guard my words and say what I hear, and I do what I see. Now He's our Lord, and we have the same honor and respect for Him. My agenda is to do what my Lord tells me to do, not to get off on some tangent, to prove to somebody and to try to work faith that way. This is where subtly all of us can get off. We can all be seduced off. And what happens is it affects the genuineness of our faith. True faith is motivated by love. There's an accountability that comes back to this. It thinks no evil. There is no subplot. There is no darkness. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We're motivated by Him. There is no, well, it's okay. The end will justify the means, and so blah. No. There's a purity in our faith that's motivated by love. And this is what His love looks like. No, you can look at this and think, wow, love seems like a real wet blanket on my faith. It isn't a wet blanket on your faith. Love is going to keep your faith pure and motivated to where when you want what God wants for the reasons He wants Him, there will be an anointing and there will be a grace. It might not be when you want it, but it'll be in His way and His time, and there will be an anointing on that. And that's all that matters. I'm doing what He has called me to do. I'm following the leading of His Spirit in some different ways here. But you'll see, too, that love does not in any way restrict. I mean, it keeps it accountable. It holds it in check as far as the motive. But man, you talk about taking the limits off. Love is the one that's going to challenge your faith to go big. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. Like, wow, I can't believe that person could ever get turned around. Love does. I can't believe that situation would get turned around. Love does. Love will challenge your faith to go big. Love will challenge, will ruin your calculations. When it's faith that's motivated by love. Love, God so loved the world that He came in to get us while we were yet sinners. He loved us. He saw through our sinful condition to what we could be. And love will give us eyes, faith that is motivated by love. Will cause us to believe in the impossible. Why? Because our faith is so big? No, because our faith is motivated by love. And it's the love that can believe. It's the motivation of love that causes our faith to see so big. Man, it believes, it hopes all things. You know, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And so love is going to expand that hope. Endure. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I tried, I believed. And when you're ready to quit, why is it that you don't quit? When you're motivated by love, love doesn't want to quit. Love doesn't want to give up. It's love that's keeping your faith going, a faith that is motivated by love. And this is where you begin to, what John calls, get perfected in love. None of us are there yet. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not arrived. I'm still growing in this. But it has a perfecting work in your heart where faith that is motivated by love, you begin to say, okay, Lord, I want what You want. This is not about me. This is not about this is about what You want, Lord. You placed me in the body according as it pleased You. I am Your workmanship. You aren't my workmanship. I am Your workmanship to do the good works You ordained me to walk in. My job is to hear and to see what those works are and to walk them out under the authority of my Lord in His way and in His time. The Apostle Paul said, the Lord counted me faithful and He enabled me, putting me into the ministry. There is a walking out where you begin to listen and walk with your Lord, and He begins to show you the what and the when and the where. But when you're patient and you don't bite on the seductions of the enemy to show your stuff, but to wait and get what God is showing, there will be an anointing on that. and you'll get confidence in being able to hear from God. You'll develop patience in the process. You'll begin to pursue, you know, he says, pursue faith and love and patience and, you know, gentleness. These are things that you just begin to develop as you're pursuing a faith that works by love. So there's an authentic faith that is motivated by love. Let's take a look at one more scripture along these lines. Noah abides faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Yes, if you were to have a contest between faith, hope, and love, love would win. However, love is still just one. And there's three that remain. There's three that remain. In other words, I'm not focusing on love to the exclusion of faith because that's the greatest one. No! There's three that remain. We need all three. I focus on love to the maturing of my faith, to the development of my faith, not as a cloak, an excuse to not have to walk in faith. All three remain. And love is the greatest, but it's still only one. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. You got to step out. There is going to be, finally, faith that demands an action. It's real time. It's really motivated by love. But it is going to act. It is going to step out. It is going to do. Love is not designed to give you a paralysis of analysis, and I'm never quite good enough to step out in faith. No. Love is there. It is an important check and balance, and we can go through those checks and balances to check our heart against it. But it's not there to keep us in place from walking in faith. It's our motivation to walk in faith. And man, faith is going to demand, it is going to demand an action. These are just a few exhortations. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And this is, you know, Paul talking to the Ephesians. He said, in addition to these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. The devil prowls about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. So as we look at this, it's important to see that there are three that remain. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and it works by love. But we need all three. We need a love that motivates our faith, that's the substance of things hoped for. All three, faith, hope, and love. But there is a point where we are going to fight the good fight of faith. I mean, I've been there where, I'll just tell off on myself. When the enemy is warring against your mind, there's different things that war against the law of your mind. The Bible says, the law of sin and death, which is in our members, wars against the law of our mind. Okay, that's our body, has appetites that war against the law of our mind. And we've got an adversary, the devil, who roars. That's a spiritual, external thing that also wars against the law of our mind. So we get hit from a body, a mortal body, and we get hit from the outside. And when we get hit, it doesn't feel good. It's not life and peace. And this is where we have a decision to make. And I remember it was a morning I was reading that scripture, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. And you're getting a roar, which is designed to provoke into you into some dark place, whether it's self-pity or bitterness or hatred or something like that. And you're right there and you've got a choice. Am I going to engage this or not engage this? And think, I know my theology. According to my theological calculations, I'm supposed to resist this right now. But that's not what's going to resist the enemy, my calculations. Faith demands an action. And I remember the Holy Spirit said, Ed, you said you were going to fight the good fight of faith today. Yes, I did. You can either feel sorry for yourself for having to fight the good fight of faith, or you can fight the good fight of faith. You know, that's what we were doing even this morning. When we're worshiping the Lord, man, you're fighting the good fight of faith. When you get faith in your eyes, in your ears, and coming out your mouth, it's in your face. Not only is it in your face, though, it's in the devil's face. If it's in your face, it's in his face. He can't see your face when it's full of faith. It's like a shield of faith, a shield that, again, from your eyes, your ears, mouth, it is a shield that you're seeing. You're not seeing, you're not listening, you're engaging. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? And this is where you begin to demand that action. Jesus knew theology too, but he also knew how to act on what he knew. He knew how to fight that good fight of faith. Again, every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. So it's that sword of the Spirit. The word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the word there is rhema. It's the spoken word of God. And where do we see this? We see this in Jesus' life. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Think about that. He's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. And he declares the word of God. He resists with the spoken word of God. He said, "It is written." That is where that power is. You know, we talked last week about, we had a message called "You Are Here." And how we can slip into the fact, you know, and you are here as you look into the Word of God. Where are you? Well, you are delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Where are you? You're here in the kingdom of His dear Son. You are also, if any man, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. A new creation in Christ Jesus, born and created in righteousness and true holiness. So you are here. You're a child of God in the kingdom of God. And yet for your mind, your soul, that's in the process of being renewed. You know? In other words, I can know that I'm a child of God in the kingdom of God, but in my mind, I'm still thinking like I'm in the, you know, in the kingdom of darkness. And there's a process where my mind is coming over, where my mind has to catch up to what my spirit did. The scripture says in Romans 12, that's a process of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the only reason your mind is getting renewed is because of the spiritual reality that really took place when you got born again. In other words, something really happened when you got born again, and your mind is kind of catching up. In other words, I'm not being loyal to a concept of, I'm really new, you know? I feel bad, but, you know, I'm really new, right? Right? I'm really new. And I got to believe, you know, I have no loyalty to a concept of really being new to talk this guy to come over and join me over here. Why? What is it that happens? It is written, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. The Word of God divides your soul and your spirit. It'll get right in between them. And when you're feeling this, you're going, what am I doing on this side of the Word? This is who I am. I believe that. The new creation, the witness of the Holy Spirit. I'm a child of God. This is who I am. When I'm declaring that Word of God, this is what will cause your soul, when you're fighting that good fight of faith, to come over on the side of your spirit. You already know it theologically. Not good enough. Authentic faith, genuine faith, demands a nowness. It demands a meditation. It demands for Jesus himself, in the face of his battle, to declare it is written. And so to understand, when we're talking about a genuine faith, it is something that demands an action. I can't sit and just think about my theology and think about what I believe about this thought. There's a genuine faith that Timothy had, that his mother and his grandmother had. It didn't just stop at pondering theology. It went all the way to stirring up a gift that was in him. Not just knowing that according to his calculations, he didn't have a spirit of fear, but he stirred up a spirit of a sound mind. Stirred up power, love, and a sound mind. There's a faith that acts. I'm going to go and act. I don't have to wait for the right person and the right revival at the right time to be in the right place to spark me. No, I can on purpose at any time stir myself up in the Holy Spirit. I can get the sense of the witness because the Spirit in you can't help it. He has been sent to guide you into all truth and to bear witness to truth. And when you declare the word, the Spirit just says, amen, amen. Even though you could be sulking over here in your soul, your spirit's still bearing witness. And at some point when you declare that word, your soul is going to come along. Say, yeah, that's true. Amen, amen. I'm getting my whole being. What am I doing? I'm setting my mind on things above. And that's when there's life and peace. That's when there's stability and strength. That's when you begin to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, not from over there, but from over here. But the Word has the authority to reel you in over here, to bring your soul back over to where your spirit should be. So genuine faith, we're talking about. Again, this is a kind of a checkup. As human beings, we all slip into a lot of different ways of getting fake or phony with our faith for whatever motivations. We got to deal with it. But we got to realize, too, that there is a scriptural baseline that we can look at, that we can kind of go back to and do our own heart check. You know, it's kind of like your three-month oil change. You know, you're checking levels and lubes and all that tire pressure. This is a great one for that, to say, Lord, man, I want my faith to be genuine. I'm not doing it, again, for likes or points. Or Paul said, if I was trying to please men, I shouldn't be the servant of Christ. He said when he was preaching the Word of God, it was about saying what he heard, doing what he saw, keeping that faith genuine. It's experienced in real time. It is something that we need to keep our eyes in front of. No matter how many years we've known that theology, knowing it is not what feeds me. Knowing my theology doesn't feed my faith today. There is a nowness. I got to take that and put that in front of my eyes and let those words penetrate my heart and my soul and my mind. It's going to be motivated by love. Sometimes I've got to ask myself and just ask the Lord, you know, Father God, my heart, my motive. Lord, I want my motives to be right. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up together in him. Lord, I want my motive to be your motive. I want it to be true. I want it to be love. I don't want it to be vindictive. I don't want weird agendas. I don't want pride. I don't want parades. I just want what you want, you know, because you're showing me, Lord. And then I will act. I will do what you tell me to do. I'm going to do what you show me to do next. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you this morning for just a genuine faith, a faith that Timothy had, that his mom, his grandma had, Father God, a faith, Lord, that can be demonstrated, a faith that can be replicated, a faith that comes from your word, Lord Jesus. That's our heart. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I put my faith in you. I want to walk by faith and live by faith to keep your word before my eyes, in my ears, and out my mouth. It's not good enough to have good theology. I need to feed. I need to let your word dwell in me richly. Thank you, Father God, for the life of your word. My heart is for your heart. Your heart is love. I want my motives pure. I want a love that inspires big faith, that will go places that my natural thinking would never dare, to believe big things and to do things for your glory, for your purpose. And I will act, Lord, because the victory that overcomes the world is my faith. It's acting from a heart of love and a hope that I have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Again, just a word of encouragement, exhortation. you know, as far as our faith goes, to say, hey, all right, faith, this is what I believe. Yeah, got my, yeah, I know what it is. That's good. But how am I doing with that? You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. In other words, Pastor Ed, as you're living out what you're preaching up here, how's that going for you? How's that working out? He said, when you do this, you're going to save both yourself and those who hear you. Your theology, in other words, works in real life. It's not just there for you to champion and defend and defeat off all the... It's there for you to walk out, to live out. It's real. It's true. You can take it off the theological plaque that you are glad to have, but put it in your heart and begin. It really is the doer of the word that's blessed. That's where you experience these things. Amen. Praise God.